Welcome to the How to Be Awesome at Your Job podcast, the show where brilliant professionals share how to sharpen the universal skills required to flourish at work, enjoy more career fun, wins, meaning, and money with your host, Pete Mikitas.
Hello, and thanks so much for joining us here for episode 326 with Brenda Bernstein. Brenda is a LinkedIn expert who's written a super bestseller on the subject of writing a killer LinkedIn profile. And LinkedIn has come up many a time on the show, but never an exclusively dedicated episode until now. So you'll learn 1, 2 keys to crafting an eye-grabbing LinkedIn profile. 2, how to grow your LinkedIn network past 500 people quickly and easily. And 3, the case for making recommendations. So if you'd like to take a look at the show notes or the transcript or the links to items we've referenced here, it's on over at awesomeatyourjob.com/F326. And here's Brenda's story. Brenda Bernstein is the founder and senior editor at The Essay Expert, LLC, and the author of How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile, a book that held the number one bestseller spot in Amazon's business writing skills list for over 2 years. She's a sought-after speaker and award-winning businesswoman and resume writer, and a dedicated student of leadership and a trained life coach. She's armed with a BA in English with honors from Yale and a JD with honors from NYU Law School. She's been partnering with job seekers and college applicants for over 15 years to create effective written application documents. Brenda practiced law for 10 years in New York City and spent a year as a JD career advisor with the University of Wisconsin Law School's Office for Career Services. She currently works part-time as a law school admissions consultant for Kaplan Test Prep and Admissions. Here is Brenda. Brenda, thanks so much for joining us here on the How to Be Awesome at Your Job podcast.
Thank you, Pete. It's great to be here.
Well, I want to start at the beginning in terms of, well, maybe your early childhood, not to enter therapy, but you were in Sesame Street when you were a child. What is the story here?
Yes, and I really need therapy after that. Well, the story is, you know, my sister and I grew up in New York City, and my mom just thought, hey, I'll take them to interview. And we passed whatever test. And the next thing you knew, they were calling us in to be on Sesame Street. So we did a few shows. I met Big Bird and Oscar. And not everyone knows this, but it's the same actor in Big Bird and Oscar.
How about that?
Yeah. And I remember seeing Snuffleupagus, like, hanging from the ceiling, and I always loved Snuffleupagus. Sat in Big Bird's nest, and one of the episodes I was on, I was doing tongue twisters with Bob, and we were sitting on the stoop and saying "rubber baby buggy bumpers," and I said "rubber baby buggy bumpers, rubber baby buggy bumpers" many, many, many times, and that, you know, that was the beginning of my speaking career right there.
Mm, an auspicious beginning.
Yes. Give me any tongue twister.
Excellent. Well, they must have liked it, because if you kept coming back, that's great.
I kept coming back. You know, the last time that they invited me, they asked me to do a voiceover. They show the animals, and you're supposed to say what the animals were doing, and I completely failed on that. It was not a good match for me. I didn't even know what to say, and like, that was my last time on Sesame Street.
Oh, you had to create the script. It wasn't just read it. It's like, what is this animal thinking, feeling, trying to convey right now?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's challenging for anybody.
Well, for some kids, it's like they naturally do that. And I did not. Maybe I was too old and jaded already. And I couldn't be like, look, he's eating. It just wasn't me.
Jaded at an early age.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk to you all about LinkedIn profiles. You wrote the book, How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile. And I love a direct title that's very clear, like How to Be Awesome at Your Job, How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile. So, boy, I'll let you kick it off. I mean, there's probably many ways we could approach this question, but how does one write a killer LinkedIn profile?
See, I thought you were going to say how one write such a great book about writing killer LinkedIn profiles, but how does one write a killer LinkedIn profile? Well, there are quite a few aspects to it. Part of it is how you write it and what words you put down into the profile. And then part of it is how you use it once you've got it. And, you know, my book goes over 18 common mistakes that people make in writing their LinkedIn profiles and tells you how to avoid them, and also has some bonus tips at the end. Really, it ends up being, you know, like, 25, at least 25 tips with many sub tips in between. So it takes a lot to write a killer LinkedIn profile if you're really going to get the results that are, you know, that are possible out of LinkedIn.
Yeah. Well, let's orient there to results and the why behind this thing, maybe before going into as much of the how. It's funny. I have a listener who mentioned that I said, oh, hey, you know, could I use your image and quote just from your LinkedIn profile, you know, as a testimonial since you like this stuff. And she's like, oh yeah, I don't have a LinkedIn profile. I know I should, but, and so if there's listeners in that boat, who's like, oh yeah, I probably should. Could you unpack what's behind the should and the results and the benefits associated with putting in this investment of effort?
Yeah. Well, in one sense, it does depend. Everything depends, right? I don't have too many hard and fast rules, like that I would tell every person on the planet that they need to have a LinkedIn profile. So do you happen to know what that person's career, you know, what industry she was in, what kind of job she did?
Sure. She was working in like sort of pharmaceuticals, medical devices, space.
Then she definitely needs to have a LinkedIn profile. I was going to say if she were a social worker, an elementary school teacher, you know, some people like that, it's really not that important to have a LinkedIn profile other than for networking. But if you're in pharmaceutical, medical device, the recruiters are out there looking for you. They're on LinkedIn. So not to be on LinkedIn is a big mistake if you're in a field like that, like any of those professional fields. If you're in IT, if you're any type of mid-level manager, if you're like consumer packaged goods, any of those types of industries and type, if you're a project manager of any kind of technology, IT, the recruiters are on LinkedIn. They're looking for you. The jobs are being posted on LinkedIn. So it's a really good place to look for a job. And hopefully you're always have a little bit of an eye out for what might be the next best thing for yourself. So, you know, if you really don't care about meeting other professionals in your industry and you don't care about being recruited for a bigger and better job and you just want to stay exactly where you are and maybe not have your customers be able to find out anything about you, then, you know, don't have a LinkedIn profile.
Gotcha. Okay. I already have it. It's like, I am completely content where I am and I would like an extra measure of privacy. You know, that would be the segment of hope. Of person or people that ought not to have a LinkedIn profile or would not really benefit, I guess, in the sense of recruiters and jobs are living on LinkedIn and you're missing out. That might not matter so much, but for the healthy majority, it sure sounds like, yes, you want one. I heard it said, well, it might've been Mac Pritchard who said, or maybe it was you, I don't know where this came from, but that was a great turn of a phrase. It was, oh, you're not on LinkedIn? You must be retired.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh boy, that really puts a point on it.
So plenty of retired people are on LinkedIn as well, because, you know, you get to be in groups and keep learning and growing. So there's usefulness even when you are retired to be on LinkedIn or be a mentor or to be a mentor for someone else.
Right. Or sort of nonprofit, volunteering, board recruitment and membership. Certainly. So, okay, well, we're not here to put any guilt or shame on anybody. If you happen to not yet have a LinkedIn profile or if it's embarrassingly old or out of date, no judgment. We're just looking to make the most of this asset should you choose to take advantage of it. So, you said there's 18 or 25 mistakes folks make. Could you unpack a little bit in terms of, you know, what are some of the most dangerous and most widespread of these mistakes that we should rectify right away?
Sure. Well, I'll talk about a few of them. One, and it's the thing that happens before anyone finds you on LinkedIn at all, is to not be found. So if you have a LinkedIn profile and no one finds you, there's still a little benefit because if you give people your LinkedIn profile address, then they can still look at your profile. But it's important to be locatable on LinkedIn. So in order to do that, you need to have the keywords in the right places. And you also need to have a fairly robust network and, you know, at a minimum 500 connections on LinkedIn. And the combination of that keyword placement and keyword density, and I think people generally know what that means of, but it's, you know, basically the words that people are going to be using when they put them into the search box. And you want to come up for those words. So the more times those words show up in the key places, which are your headline and your job titles, and then after that, some other places in your profile, the more likely you are to come up in people's searches. So that's really important, to be findable, locatable on LinkedIn. And then, you know, you want to look good once people find you. And one of the first things that people see when they look at your LinkedIn profile is, of course, your photo. The big mistake that people make on LinkedIn, not having a photo at all, having a photo on there with their dog or cat. Let's get serious here. We're not talking about Facebook.
All right. Gotcha.
This is LinkedIn. This is your professional presence. So you want to have a professional headshot on LinkedIn. You want to have a light background, usually works a lot better on LinkedIn. And just have it be you, you know, your head and your shoulders, maybe up to your shoulders. That's mostly what people want to see. Now, if you're in real estate and you want to have a sign or a house along with you, you know, there are certain professions where it's okay to have something else in the background. But for most of us, it's going to be, I want to be just me and the background. So that makes a difference. And we are human beings and we are attracted by something that looks, you know, that looks professional. A recruiter who looks at a profile, one of them has a picture and another one doesn't have a picture, and they're going to be more interested in talking to the person with the picture.
Right. Gotcha.
So, and then the other part of likability, I would say, on LinkedIn, and you're starting to get a little hint at my formula, right? We have locatability and likability. I'm getting these, like, the L's going here. So likability, in addition to the photo, you might want to have a nice background to your photo. And that's where you can get a little bit creative. Again, you want to keep it professional and don't have too many words in there, because depending on what interface it's showing on, that photo will be located in different places on the background. You don't want it to cover up something important and just not look right. So you mostly want to use an image that it's okay if your photo is in different places along that spectrum. But LinkedIn has a default sort of a constellation that they have back there, and that's boring. So if you do have a background, it shows anyone who looks that you've taken an extra care and creativity to put into your profile and says something about you.
Okay, so you mean background, not the background in your photo, but a separate feature in LinkedIn, which is the background image.
Yes, the background image.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification. And then we have the headline. So in the headline, you want to make sure you say who you are. One big mistake is people let their job title automatically populate the headline, and you have control over that. You can override it, and you can say your job title, but then follow it up with some other things. And you want to use keywords in there to go back to the locatability, and maybe even have a little bit of your unique selling proposition if you can fit in, and not I wouldn't the expensive keywords, but sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of a tagline up there as well.
And could you give us a few examples there of sort of headlines that are missing an opportunity versus, oh yeah, just perfect?
You know, I can give you the example of my own, which when I first wrote my headline said, you know, founder and senior editor at the Essay Expert. Now, that doesn't help anyone find a resume writer, right? Doesn't help anyone find a LinkedIn expert. So that's just one example. And now, once I myself learned about headlines and keywords, you know, my headline now says resume and LinkedIn profile writer, author, speaker, executive resumes, C-level resumes, executive LinkedIn profiles, college essays, law school admissions essays, MBA admissions essays. So you see the difference.
and so you put all of that in the headline. And so then I'm thinking about as you see like the search results of, you know, person's name and then headline, will you get to read all of that, or will it get clipped off in search results or as folks are browsing?
Yeah, you won't be able to see all of it necessarily, but on desktop version, if someone looks, they'll see that whole thing once they look at your profile.
All right. So then your emphasis there was really all about the keywords such that when people are searching that, they find just that. And so that's sort of the main thing, as opposed to like a branding thing of a, you know, data-driven professional passionate about the future of the automotive industry.
Right. Those words aren't going to get you a lot of mileage in your headline. So, and here's another example. someone who wrote quality assurance analyst in their headline.
All right.
So that's okay, because if, you know, someone's looking for a quality assurance analyst, they're going, you know, that's going to help them out. But if you have quality assurance analyst, and then you have a little divider, say product development, client communication, automation engineer, then you give yourself more chances to be found.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'm with you there. So you want to be findable with a good headline, and you can override it from just your position to what's there. You want to look good with a good photo, light background, and then using the LinkedIn background extra feature there. What else?
So the next thing really is your summary. And that's your opportunity. You've got 2,000 characters. And a lot of people, a big mistake that people make is to take their resume summary, which isn't always the greatest in the first place, and then they copy and paste it. And it's this paragraph that says, you know, results oriented, proven track record, in my words, blah, blah, blah. And they just copy and paste it into their LinkedIn profile. They're not taking advantage of the entire 2,000 characters that are available. Not that you have to use all the 2,000, but you have some room here to get creative. So there, you actually have an opportunity to show a little bit of your personality. So maybe some of your accomplishments, all in your LinkedIn summary. So, you know, I have an example of a marketing person who wrote in her LinkedIn summary all about how she wanted to be a football player when she grew up. Actually, she says when she was little, she boldly claimed to anyone who'd listen, "I wanted to drive a garbage truck," right? And then she moved to Wisconsin and declared she'd be the next Green Bay Packers quarterback after Brett Favre retired. So, you know, she really is bringing herself to this LinkedIn summary. And it's kind of fun, and it grabs some attention. Now, the one thing to keep in mind with the LinkedIn summary is that this is one where you don't see the whole thing when you first look at it, and you've got to click on show more. So think about maybe the first 3 or 4 lines to make sure that you're communicating who you are in those first few lines, or grabbing some attention enough to make people want to click on show more. So when I write LinkedIn profiles for people, I definitely use those first few lines to hit them with the most important things and make no mistake about who I am and what I offer. And then
right.
You can talk more.
Well, and that's interesting there, because it seems like there's maybe multiple approaches with that summary, because with that fun, you know, I wanted to be a garbage truck driver. I guess if you think about the person on the other side of that, it might kind of catch their attention, like, huh, okay, that's a little different. Oh, what's your story? I want to learn more. That might intrigue them, or they might be like, yeah, I don't care. It's sort of a turn off. So mm-hmm. How do you think about what style or tone is best for what context?
Well, there's a way you can do both. I would say for one is that maybe you start out really telling them who you are, and then you can tell a little bit of your story and show your personality. So that would be one. And then the other is, who are you and what is your personality? If your personality is to talk about how you wanted to drive a garbage truck when you grew up, then maybe you start that way. And if your personality is a lot more straightforward, you know, business oriented, then you're going to start that way. And the other good news is that you can always change your LinkedIn profile anytime you want. And you can save what you had there before, and you can try something else. Now, you can't have 2 LinkedIn profiles. You can get in trouble for that. But you can try different things at different times. Make sure you save anything that you decide to change. You know, save the old one. And if you don't like how something is performing, you can always do something different.
Okay. So then what are some other key components, and how should we make sure we're not making mistakes there?
Well, you do want to make sure to have, as I said, a robust network. I didn't go into much detail about that, but 500 connections is really a minimum. And if you don't have that number of connections, you probably are going to have a hard time finding people when you search, because the search results come up based on how close connection you are to them. So you want to be close to a lot of people so that when you search for automation engineer in Chicago, you know, you're really going to get good results because you're connected with a lot of people. And in order to build that network, you know, a lot of people are like, oh my God, 500, that seems like such a big number. it's probably not as big as you think it is. Once you start to look, and there are ways that you can look at your alumni from any schools that you've gone to and start connecting with alumni. Other people are like, oh, 500. Well, I only want quality connections. Well, don't you think that a lot of the people you went to school with, especially if it was, you know, a top level college or any kind of graduate school, are going to be high quality connections? I mean, I would hope so. So even if you don't know them personally, most people who went to a school with you are going to be open to connecting. If you join groups, then you also have a really great source of connection. You were going to say something?
Right. And I found that LinkedIn is just very almost creepily wise when it comes to suggesting people I may know. And it's like, how do you even know that I know that person? I can't even see what you're seeing about knowledge. I'm sure they're in deep with some big data things that make it super smart. But that's kind of what I found when I was trying to, way back in the day when I was below 500, I'd say, oh, I do know a lot of those people. So I'd, you know, connect, the ones they suggested. And then sure enough, a week later, many of those people had already accepted. And so LinkedIn had new wisdom from which to draw and suggest even more people that I might know. And I say, oh, sure, connect. So in a way, it did it for me. I just had to sit down with a little bit of space in between and review the people they thought I knew.
Yep. Yeah. Most people know a lot more people than they realize or are interested in knowing more people than they realize.
That's cool. And are there some sort of slick moves to like get all of your Facebook connections to become LinkedIn connections? Is that possible?
I don't know of anything like that. There could be some interface app somewhere that does that, but I don't know. There is a way to get anyone in your address book, but I wouldn't do that because sometimes your address book has a bunch of junk in it and you don't want to just blithely send out connection requests to everyone in your email address book, because you'll get rejections and it'll be kind of messy. And if you get too many people saying they don't know you, then they can stop you from sending out more requests. So I wouldn't go that route. I wouldn't do anything actually automated in terms of building your network. I'd reach out to people one-on-one. And especially, you know, if you do anything automated, then the best that any program could do would be to send out a generic message. And I'm really a proponent of customizing every invitation.
Yes, I like that a lot. And so I want to go there in a second. And so with the address book stuff, though, it is possible, right, to like sort of deselect all and then get choosy. Like, okay, LinkedIn, you can take a look at my Gmail. But from there, I'm going to pick and choose, you know, who I'm actually requesting to connect with.
I think you can, but so many people, it's very tricky and not intuitive. So a lot of people send out invitations to their entire address book by accident when they're maybe trying to do that. So I just don't recommend it.
Okay, gotcha. So risk.
In addition to the issue of it's just going to be the generic invitation.
Well, yeah, let's talk about inviting people well and customizing each. Lately, you know, it's funny, you know, way back, not too far back, I had an episode with Steve Sims, and he mentioned he liked to do events with a password. And so it's like, if you set the password at the door, then it meant that, you know, you knew whatever the right people to be invited. And it showed that you were up for some fun because the password was silly, like name the Teletubbies. And so I asked some time ago, and I've gotten a lot of these requests. So send some more, please, listeners. I'd say, hey, go ahead and ask me to connect on LinkedIn. And the password is a lyric from a boy band song. And so I've been getting all of these fun connection requests, like, Pete, it's tearing up my heart when I'm with you. And so it makes it a lot of fun to go to LinkedIn and connect with listeners and such. But then it kind of became clear how I was also getting so many poor messages, and some have no message, or I'd like to add you as a connection on LinkedIn. Right. And I think the worst I've seen, I won't say his name, but it said something like, hi, Pete, in an effort to build my financial services connections, I am reaching out to you. And it's like, well, that's sort of all about you and not all about sort of what we have in common. Or others would say, it appears that we have similar interests. You know, it is like, I think you say that to everybody. So, I mean, on my own experience, I'm looking for a touch of personalization, customization. There's something that connects us. I listen to your podcast. Awesome. That's great. Cool. Thank you. You know, so anyway, that's been my experience, but let's get your expert take. What makes a bad versus a good invitation request messaging?
Yeah, well, I agree with everything you said. Anything that's generic is not the best. And there are people, I really love your little game that you played with send me some boy band lyrics. That's really great. I know someone who will always require a new connection to have a conversation with him on the phone before he'll accept the invitation. So that's a strategy people have used.
Oh, that's cool. So he just sends an email back like, hey, thanks for reaching out. You can schedule time to chat if you want to be connected. And then there you go. Okay.
Exactly. And of course, you know, there are some people I'm sure he just rejects, but if it's someone who looks like then that he would be interested in connecting, then he'll have that conversation. One way to do it, let's say if you're reaching out to alumni, it might be enough just to say, hey, we're both alumni of this school and I'd love to connect with you. How's life after Kalamazoo University? You know, whatever it is. And when you're connecting with people in groups, you generally have some common interests, I should hope. Maybe it's someone who posted something in a group, so you can refer to what they posted and say that you found it interesting. You might connect with someone who posted an article in LinkedIn Publisher, and you read the article and you liked it, and you can tell them how much you enjoyed their article, and especially this part, you know, prove to them that you read it. I have been reaching out to coaches. And I reach out to a lot of people on the Forbes Coaches Council. So I've written to people saying, hi, you know, I see you're a member of the Forbes Coaches Council. I'm an executive resume writer, and I think we could be valuable connections for each other. And I look forward to having you in my network. And just that, it's very simple, but pretty much everyone accepts my invitation when I write like that.
There you go. And it doesn't need to be elaborate or detailed. It's just sort of like, oh, okay. It just sort of is even almost like a surface or summary answer, like, wait, who are you and why should we connect? Oh, okay. That's you. And that makes sense. Okay. That's it. You know,
exactly.
Done.
Yes. And, you know, just for the record, no, I do not recommend, you know, connecting with every single person from Pakistan and India who says they want to connect with you. I think it's fine to reject some connections, which just basically means just don't respond to them. And then the person doesn't get it. They don't get something that says you rejected them. They just never get connected with you.
Ooh, now if I click ignore, are they told that I clicked ignore?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so. Because no one's told me you have been ignored.
Exactly.
I've never seen that. And so my thing is I accept most, you know, even if it's sort of light on the details, because I sort of assume, you know, with thousands of listeners, oh, you're probably a podcast listener. You didn't hear the episode about the password. So, you know, it's all good. But maybe, I don't know, fair or unfair, you know, folks who are doing sort of investment advisory things and markety sounding things, I usually say no, because it's often the beginning of a sales funnel. So if any listeners tried to connect with me and you happen to be in those industries, I probably ignored you and it's not personal. Mm-hmm. I think you could try again. Is that true, Brenda? Is that possible?
You can. You might need to
give a message
to withdraw your request and then reinstate it. And there's a way to do that. You can actually, like, you send one of those generic messages accident, which sometimes happens, because it's not necessarily easy to send a customized message.
Right.
Like if you click on connect from a list, from a search that came up, that automatic message is going out and you can't stop it. And if you connect from your phone, if you hit connect, it's going to send a generic message on your phone. What you need to do, and a lot of people don't realize this, but you can send a customized message, but you need to click on, I think they just changed it, but it says more. And when you hit on more, then you get a personalized invite option in the down. But most people don't know that. And so if you do get a generic message, maybe someone just connected with you from their phone and they didn't even know. So I wouldn't be offended either. But if you're a really savvy LinkedIn user, you're going to know how to send a customized message from anywhere.
Yeah, well, that's helpful to know right there. It's like, oops, you know, you might accidentally do that, but you can withdraw it and then do it with more customization if you accidentally hit that.
Exactly. As long as they haven't accepted it yet, you can actually go into your LinkedIn interface and find all the connection requests that you made, and you can manage those requests and you can undo one of them if you want to.
Okay. Well, this is really useful stuff. Brenda, tell me any other sort of top do's and don'ts that you want to make sure we get out there when it comes to LinkedIn?
Those are really my top ones. I would say, you know, the other things to consider are giving and getting recommendations. It's always a really good thing to do. If you haven't given a recommendation in 4 years on LinkedIn, think about whether it might be time to do that. And if you haven't any, maybe it's time to start requesting those, because those are really great to have to show off who you are on your LinkedIn profile. And you get to show off by getting them and by giving them. If there are any recruiters out there who might be looking for you, they do look at recommendations that you've given. So keep that in mind.
And is that just to evaluate, hey, is this a generous person who knows LinkedIn, or can they write well, or kind of what are they looking at when they to see about recommendations you're giving?
I think it's mostly to say, oh, this is a person who supports their colleagues, you know, who cares to take time to do something nice for another person.
Awesome. And it is so nice in terms of you can just surprise and delight someone by pulling up their profile, writing them a recommendation. Maybe you worked with them years ago, and then they love it. You know, it's a fun moment. Like, hey, Pete, how are you doing? Oh, that was so nice. Thank you. You know, it puts everyone in a good mood. You know, who doesn't love to get a compliment or a thank you
in a
public way that helps them out too?
Absolutely. And then the final thing, which is probably one of the biggest mistakes that anyone makes on LinkedIn, is they write their LinkedIn profile, and it's like the gym membership, you know, that you buy the gym membership and then you never go to the gym. It's a similar principle with LinkedIn. You know, you can have a great LinkedIn profile, and then if you just sit there and you don't check your LinkedIn messages, or you do, but you only ever have conversations on LinkedIn about anything, and you never actually have a phone call with anyone, or you never actually go out and meet for coffee with someone that you met on LinkedIn, you're not going to get results from your LinkedIn profile. Like, it actually does require being active, going back, updating things when it's ready to update them, reaching out to people and having conversations. That's how to really get value out of LinkedIn.
Beautiful. Well, any final thoughts before we shift gears and hear about some of your favorite things?
I think that's good. We can move on. Yeah.
Here's a riddle for you. What usually takes way longer to complete than writing an outstanding LinkedIn profile? For many, it's buying a term life insurance policy. But with Haven Life Insurance Agency, you may just be able to slash that wait time dramatically. Haven Life's online application gets you a coverage decision on term life insurance with breathtaking speed and convenience. See, I just had to take a breath there. Many can even find out if they're approved for a term life insurance policy right now on your phone in less time than it takes to finish your commute. On mass transit, of course, don't do this when you're driving. And it's affordable. A 35-year-old guy in excellent health could get a $500,000 20-year Haven term policy issued by Mass Mutual for around $21 a month, a price that's less than your coffee habit. And Mass Mutual, who issues it, has been in the insurance biz for 160 years with a long history of financial strength. So avoid the back and forth and long waiting periods with the traditional application process and get a coverage decision immediately. To get your free quote, head over to welcome.havenlife.com/awesome. That's welcome.havenlife.com/awesome for your free quote today. Well, could you share with us a favorite quote, something you find inspiring?
Wow, it's like my favorite quote changes on a daily basis. Yesterday I saw this video talking about bamboo trees and how bamboo trees take 5 years to grow, but the majority of that time they're under the soil and they have to be tended to and watered. And then all of a sudden, within 5 weeks, the bamboo tree grows to 90 feet.
That's cool.
That's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And it was such a great metaphor for so many things in life, how you need to really put time in and you might not see the results. And people might be telling you, I don't see any results. It's not working, right? But if you have that confidence and you're nurturing and watering something, then when it's ready to like bust out of the ground, it's going to do that. And it can move really fast. So I think that there's something about trusting the process and keeping on keeping on and nurturing your dream.
Oh, cool. And how about a favorite study or experiment or bit of research?
Here's a bit of research that I think is really cool. So this is one where a bunch of students were told before they were going to go into a lecture, half the students were told that the lecturer was very warm, and the other half of the students were told, oh, this lecturer is kind of cold, kind of a cold person. And then all the students went in to see the lecture, and what do you know? It was the same lecture. Everyone saw the same thing, but the ones who had been told that the professor was warm came out talking about how warm the professor was. And the ones who went in being told the professor was kind of cold came out saying, well, yeah, it was a good lecture, but the professor was kind of cold. What strikes me about this for LinkedIn is that how we write our LinkedIn profile informs how people expect us to be when we meet them. So if you write something on LinkedIn that's very business focused, people are going to expect you, if they meet you in person, for you to be business focused. And if you write something that's a little more creative and playful, they're going to expect you to be more creative and playful. Like, you actually get to inform how people experience you in real life or in an interview based on what you write in your LinkedIn profile. So I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool. Thank you. And how about a favorite book?
Besides How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile?
Yes.
That's a hard one. Oh, you know, one, I read this such a long time ago, but it's the first one that just popped into my head. It's called The Time Traveler's Wife. I know they made a movie. The movie wasn't very good, but the book was so good.
And what spoke to you about the Time Traveler's Wife?
Well, it was clearly about time travel, of course, but I think there's something about loyalty. Like, this person keeps coming back to the same. It's a man who kind of comes in and out of time travel and keeps coming back to the same person over and over again as she grows. And it's just a beautiful story of loyalty and connection and longing.
Thank you. And how about a favorite tool?
Does a kitchen appliance count?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, my blender is definitely my favorite. It's my favorite tool of all time. I use it every day. I make smoothies in it. I make salad dressing in it. I make blended soups in it. I make pesto in it. I don't know how I'd live without it.
Is it a Vitamix, Blendtec, or just sort of commonplace?
It is a blend. It's a Blendtec.
There you go.
Yeah.
High end.
Oh, yeah.
And how about a favorite habit?
My favorite habit, well, making smoothies. I don't. Let's see. That's probably one of my favorite books too, is Zero Belly Smoothies. I swear I've gotten the best smoothie recipes. They're so delicious from that book. And I often, when I'm like, oh, what am I going to do with all this stuff in my house? And I go to that book and I discover a smoothie. That's probably my favorite book right now. So, and my favorite other habit, oh, I am a devoted yoga practitioner. I love yoga. I love going upside down. What I didn't talk about is one of my childhood successes was I was a New Jersey state champion in one of the lower levels of competition in gymnastics. And that was when I was 12. And I actually won the New Jersey state championship. So that was pretty cool.
Congratulations. Yeah.
So yeah, I love being upside down. And I can't do all the things that I could do when I was 12 by any means. But I love going into yoga and like going into a handstand and just like stretching and breathing and sometimes dancing. And I go to yoga class at least 4 times a week. And it's just part of my life. It's never going to go away that I can tell.
Oh, cool. Thank you. And is there a particular nugget you share that really seems to connect and resonate with folks as you're teaching them your wisdom?
I don't know if this is a nugget, but I think something people notice about me is how much I go for, well, okay, here's how it can be a nugget. So I tend to when I decide that I'm going to go for something and achieve something, I tend to be pretty tenacious and pretty persistent. And I like to say, and overcome, you know, some struggles and hardships and pain sometimes, like get to where I want to go. And I like to say that, you know, there is one guaranteed way to achieve any goal, and that is to keep taking action toward the goal and never stop. So that maybe that's it, you know, if you just keep going for it, that's the guaranteed way to get it until you're dead. Either you meet your goal or you're dead, you know.
So, no, right.
Yeah.
Okay. And if folks want to learn more or get in touch, where would you point them?
I would point them to my website, which is, it's a little hard to hear spoken, but I'll do my best here. So it's www.theessayexpert.com. So that's spelled theessayexpert, theessayexpert.com. And you can also find my book, How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile, on Amazon. And I also have How to Write a Winning Resume and How to Write a Stellar Executive Resume. So all those are available on Amazon. And if you do come to my website, you'll have an opportunity to sign up for my blog. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm Brenda Bernstein on LinkedIn. So please feel free to connect there and write me a nice customized message, and I will respond back and send you links to all those goodies that you might want. I'd love to have you know, reading my weekly blog. I post things about life and leadership and LinkedIn and resumes and all kinds of things that are probably of interest to you.
Oh, cool. Thank you. And do you have a final challenge or call to action for those seeking to be awesome at their jobs?
Yeah. I would say on your LinkedIn profile, say something great about your job, because your employers will like to see that and the recruiters will like to see that. Talk about some really positive aspect of what you're doing in your job right now, and that will look good for your company and it'll look good for you.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Well, Brenda, this has been so helpful. Thank you for setting the record straight on LinkedIn. I wish you lots of luck in all you're up to.
Thank you so much. Likewise, Pete.
I really like Brenda's perspective on the recommendations, because it's kind of rare, I think, that we give or receive recommendations, but they do bring delight into someone's world. And it's pretty cool from a perspective of a recruiter, seeing that you're leaving recommendations does give that impression that you're a warm, friendly, generous, giving colleague who likes to contribute and be a team player and supportive. That's a great thought that did not occur to me. So I hope you dug that and more from Brenda. And again, if you want to check out the show notes, the transcript, the links to items we've referenced, it's at awesomeatyourjob.com/ep327. And if you haven't already, I'll hope you'll push the subscribe button here for my next guest. It is Srini Pillay, and he is talking about the case for being unfocused and how to strategically use your brain and rest all the more effectively to have more creative brilliance and productivity. Hope to catch you there, and peace.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. To get the most out of this conversation, visit awesomeatyourjob.com to find today's show notes, transcript, and infographic summary cheat sheet. For more entertaining professional skill sharpening, be sure to subscribe to catch the next episode of How to Be Awesome at Your Job.